I was praying that on Easter the organ and the screen would reconcile. My prayers will continue in that direction. Easter morning. Easter morning. Can you imagine Mary? You know, she was in shock to begin with. They had lived and grown and been taught and eaten and spent time with Jesus. And they believed that he was the one that was going to come and change everything. He was going to be peace to the world. He was going to rebel against the Romans. He was going to bring justice. Women would be people, not just chattel. There was so much hope built there. There was so much planning, and then he was dead. They had been there at the cross. He was dead. They'd had to put him in the tomb because it was Sabbath, and they couldn't have him on the cross then. So they're coming now to do the final anointing for his burial. And what a shock, he's not there. What must that have felt like? We might be a little bit more able to understand it after the last couple of years. We have been through a traumatic shock that has lasted several years. COVID, this virus, these deaths among us. Many of us have lost family members. This tragedy, and it just persists. And we keep waiting, and we keep fearfully trying to move about, and then we hope, and now it seems like we're over it. There are few masks being worn, but now that we're hearing that it's recurring, and it's like a terrible shock that continues to impact us. It is a traumatic shock. That's what we have, some of us, is PTSD, a post-traumatic shock syndrome. We are traumatized, and we see some of that behavior coming out in people. Have you seen people that are just not people? They're off. They're, you know what I mean. And some of us and some of our behaviors also reflect where we are with that. It's a struggle, and it is a struggle that is persisting. We're seeing a war, an occupation from one major nation over another, attempted conquest of another. We haven't seen that in 50 years. World War II, we thought that was the end of that, and here. And so the shock and the pain is real. So we can commiserate a little bit with what Mary and the women felt. Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, they're all there. And depending upon which gospel we talk to, they're gathered there. In the Gospel of John, Mary goes outside and finds a gardener. She thinks it's a gardener. It's Jesus standing there. She doesn't recognize him. "Where have you taken my master?" He says, "Mary." And she knows it's him because she knows her master's voice. And he calls her by name. Yes, he calls us by name. And she recognizes and realizes he is risen, the first witness to the risen Christ. That's pretty exciting. So we hear that gospel. We hear the word, we hear the celebration of the risen Christ, and understand why it is the highest holy day in the Christian church. This is the epitome of the good news, is it not? And what is the good news? What is the story? Some people are not church people. Some people may not be familiar with the biblical passages. If they're not, here's an easy way to kind of break you in. Acts 10. Nalu didn't read it this morning. There were six different scriptures we could have read for this morning, all of them pertinent. I decided that you wouldn't let me get past about four or five. And by that point in time, we kind of become overwhelmed with anyone. But in Acts 10, Simon Peter, believe it or not, He says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. And they put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear. That's the Easter story. That's the story of Christianity. That is the story of our Savior. There's an important piece there that you need to recognize. There's no tomb in Peter's recollection. You see, the tomb sometimes gets focused upon. The tomb becomes a focus for way too many because you see, the Easter story isn't about the tomb. The Easter story is not about Jesus' death, although he died. This is about the fact that he died and then is alive again. That's why in this passage that you heard this morning, the two dazzling men are there and they say, what are you looking for? Jesus is not here. He is risen. He's not buried somewhere in the past. He's not an object of historical study. He is risen, alive, amongst us, amidst us. And so Easter is the time to recognize that transforming word of God through Christ to God's people. I need to blow my nose. God blessed Easter with springtime and things in the air. Oh, Lord, thank you. I need to mention an important part of this celebration, the Easter Bunny. Few of you are all turning your heads, oh my goodness sakes. Technically, it's the Easter hare. And I know that Richard, Richard Schneer and Susan are both Lutheran, go to Lutheran churches. We co-parent Richard. And they're both here, and good to have you both. But it was a German Lutheran. I bet you remember him, Frank von Frankenau. Ring any bells? I don't imagine it would. He wrote De Ovis Paschalibus. And that's probably the worst pronunciation you'll ever hear of a German name. But the translation is the Easter hare, 1682. He wrote a story. It's about a rabbit, a hare. And this rabbit travels around and on Easter morning delivers colored eggs and candy and sometimes gifts. 1682. I don't know where he came up with it, but here is the start of it. Intriguingly, if kids were good, they received eggs and goodies. But if they were naughty, they received nothing. Remind you of something? I can't think of what it is, but there's something niggling me in the background there. So how are we doing? It's Easter Bunny time. How are we doing? Are we on the naughty list or the nice list? We ask that question in three or four different versions. The first one is, how are you doing individually? How am I doing individually? The other is, how are we doing with family? Another is with our community, our nation, and our world. So which one of those questions is the most important? Yes. All of those. You see, Easter is reminding us and remembering that Christ is risen. There is much going on. Grace continues to happen. This is not an event that was in the history. This is an event that continues to transform the world. There are very few of us alive that remember World War II and probably experienced a traumatic mental shock when World War II began and Pearl Harbor was bombed. I can't imagine. But then I remember 9/11, and maybe I have a hint to how that felt. So there's some sense of that, but all of those things have changed. I mean, think about the world 50 years ago with World War II, and think about where we are now. The world is coming together to condemn Russia's war against Ukraine. Amen? It's a different time. There would have been a time in our past when we would have said, well, those Asians, they're always fighting, and one country's always conquering another, and they'll figure it out, and then there'll be some plunder, and then borders will change, and then things will go on. But no, it's not all right. That's different. We're growing up. We're maturing. We are making change, and we're growing in Christ through grace. There's a third component to what we want to share this morning here. We shared the Easter morning, we shared the Easter hair, but there was a third component, and that is that the piece that we read, Peter says, truly I understand that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You have to understand how radically inclusive that message was when he spoke it. How astonished the people would have been. The Jewish people were taught to keep their boundaries up. You were either a born and raised and faithful Jew, circumcised and all of the laws obedient, or you were an outsider, a Gentile. And that crossing of those borders was amazing and difficult for people who had learned otherwise. Intriguingly, it's pretty radically inclusive today. How inclusive are we going to be? How inclusive are we? Now, I have to brag a little about Aurora. We're pretty darn diverse. Have you noticed that? Did you notice half of the service was in Tongan? I hate to tell you, but I didn't understand a word of it. I'm sorry. Nalu, you guys did a great job with the music, but man, I didn't get them. I didn't have to. And Neo, your prayer, I'm glad you did it two ways, because when you got through the first time, I thought, I know what he's talking about, and you started your second, I said, no, I didn't. And that's all right, because now I had two prayers, didn't I? But Aurora is a diverse city. And in our United Methodist Conference, the Mountain Sky Conference now, 5-6 states of us, we're all gathered together. We are probably the most diverse district. We have Koreans and Tongans and Palangi. That's what the Palangans call us, Caucasians, Palangi. We have all these denominations, and by golly, we're getting along pretty good. We're learning and understanding that God is about radical inclusivity, that diversity. There's lots of ways we can divide. I mean, just Christians, Catholic and Protestants, there's a major divide there. And how many Christian denominations are you that can you imagine that are Protestant? I think I looked it up once, it was in the 400 range. But you have to count it on a specific day, because every day it changes, because somebody else will split and somebody else will go somewhere else. And amongst all of that, we're purple. They're red and the blue, the Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal. There are so many ways we can divide us. Easily we could divide ourselves down to the point that we were each individually the only one that is the right way to be. And God laughed. Because division is not the way we're going. Inclusion is the way we're going. And how are we going to be about doing that? The Easter hare wants to know how we're doing. I hope your Easter basket is full. And I hope our Easter basket is full. Grace and peace to you. This is Easter morning. Grace and peace to you and yours. Grace to peace and peace to your families. And grace and peace to all who acknowledge God and seek to live as God teaches, regardless if they've ever read the scripture, regardless if they know anything else. God includes them. And we celebrate the good news. The good news of Christ, who gave his life for us, who atoned for us. He, innocent, and out of that innocence, atones for all of us willfully, and is risen and calls us in that wonderful ballet of life and death and life again through the celebration of the resurrection. And this is Easter morning, the time to pause and reflect and give thanks, to hug one another, and to hug new people too. Let us say Hosanna, Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Amen.